Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Welcome back, everyone. The first victory of the season for Roma. They defeat Udinese 3-0 this evening. Before getting into that, of course, our newest patron, AJ Robertson, thank you for your support. And of course, to all of our other wonderful patrons, patreon.com/RomaPress and then at @RomaPress on social media and the YouTube, the video version. If you become a patron, you get early access to episodes, other things as well, such as the episode I did just for patrons that talked about the now Andy dearly departed Lino Soluku. We will get into that bomb that Roma decided to drop today prior to the match. You couldn't make it up. Let's get into the first win of the season. Because, listen, this matters for a variety of reasons, and I'm not even going to say facetiously that it came against a team that was top of the table. Just saying. But obviously, everything that happened prior, leading up to this match, is shitstorm. There's no other way to put it. Which, frankly, if you were not in a coma, if you were lucky to be in a coma this week, congratulations to you. But if you were one of the unlucky majority, as we should probably label all of us, we saw everything that happened this week. Naturally, it came with the culmination of many in the Curva Sud putting out a statement that, Andy, I need to tiptoe sometimes when it comes to the things that they put out. I can understand for the most part, everybody is unilaterally in agreement with how poorly Roma handled things with Daniele De Rossi. You are not going to find anybody that disagrees with you that says, actually, you know what? I thought they did really well and what they and how they approached the thing, the contract renewal as well. It was all perfect. Yeah, nobody is going to say that. So why, when you have one of the few instances where you have unilateral agreements, are you putting out a statement where you mention the crest, which happened, I'm checking my watch, 2024. Okay, this was 11 years ago. Why does that even slight passing reference?
Oh, man.
How does that make it into the statement?
Oh, man. How? I mean, if there is a more perfect depiction as to why this team has only three Scudettos in 97 years of its history, that right there, ladies and gentlemen, is the answer. Is fans crying about something as relevant as the crest at this moment in time? It's shocking to me. First off, let me just say, as always, you have to, as you said, tiptoe around, blah, blah, blah. Yes, we're here. We're recording in the studio. No, we're not in the stands with the fans. We're not with the ultras. We're not there. And
well, you say anything bad, man, you get like that one dork who said he was going to stab me in my eyes and pull my eyeball out.
Listen, I just want to say that today I expected a protest. I expected a boycott. I got it. I also got a slice of a part of this fan base that is so obtuse and so completely like sort of removed from the moment, because I understand, you know, tension was high going into this match. Tension was high. The whole De Rossi situation was handled very poorly. We agree on that. It was perfectly fine for the fans to stage that protest of not going in 30 minutes in, even though the banner outside the Stadio Olimpico that says those who love Roma will not enter before the 30 mark.
Yeah.
You know, come on.
Just imagine you traveled all the way from,
you traveled all the way
to Australia. You travel all the way there. Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, sure. I got my kids.
I must not be a supporter.
I got my kids with me. Yes. I'm going to sit out with 40-year-old ultras for 30 minutes. No, what I mean to say is that this team today was going to play with a lot of pressure on them. And they played with tremendous pressure on them. And I thought there was some well-deserved boos and whistles and sense of fans expressing their discontent. But today, Roma win despite the environment that was created at the Stadio Olimpico. Because quite frankly, the amount of boos that someone like Pellegrini got was, even for a Pellegrini critic, I think unfair. Because you can take it out. You can take out your frustration on what's going on the pitch. But today, Roma showed nothing but dedication to the pursuit of that win, to the pursuit of that final positive result that they've been chasing. And you can't switch the narrative, because right now the narrative is, well, Pellegrini is once again the culprit behind Daniele De Rossi's sacking. You know, that's it seems like that's the argument that the fans are working with right now. You can't switch that up, because up until a week ago, Pellegrini was sucking up to De Rossi and being his favorite. And why is De Rossi playing him every chance he gets? And why this, why that? And all of a sudden, now Pellegrini is made out to be the guilty party in it. So I just want to say that today was very, very charged atmosphere. Roma get an important result, but they get it in spite of everything that's been going around. And as deserved as some of the elements of this boycott were, there were also elements in it that I found truly distasteful based on what the team was giving us today. Because if I see Pellegrini, for example, being the only one to recover on Udinese's counterattack and prevent them from scoring a goal, being the only one to track back and save a goal by himself, you can't go out and act like nothing's happening. You are watching a game. You have to react to the game, not to something that was out of Pellegrini's hands and that happened a few days ago. So that's, you know, but that's my, I understand maybe I'm in the minority here. We'll get into that whole Lina Sulocco thing. I just can't stress enough how important it was today to win, and it wasn't given. This was not a guaranteed result. You were facing a team that had just come back 3 goals against Parma, sitting on top of the table, feeling themselves super. They were rolling, and Roma were anything but rolling. Today was crucial, and the team, I thought, they showed, you know, obviously we've seen what the team does when a new manager sets in. We remember how well they started under De Rossi. But I thought today, given what Juric was asking of them versus what De Rossi was usually asking of them, I thought they did a pretty good job of assimilating those ideas rather quickly, because Juric comes in on Wednesday and here we are, it's Sunday. So that's what I want to say, is that, you know, in spite of everything, in spite of all the noise, Roma get an extremely important result tonight.
Extremely important result. Obviously, the first win. Frankly, Andy, the thing I found most interesting was, if you were to watch this match alone and make a judgment as to which team coming into this one was more disorganized, was in better form, was more tactically astute, was essentially superior in all facets, both on and off the pitch. There would have been no doubt based on today. Andy, they could have scored 2 or 3 more goals. I mean, Dovbyk, he has that one at point-blank range that somehow doesn't find the back of the net. I mean, 3-0, frankly, is extremely flattering to Udinese in a remarkable way. Okay, Roma, they could have doubled the amount of goals they had today. I thought, in terms of strictly what Juric was going to do and as far as what he could implement in such a short time, obviously it was not like he was going to go out there and put on a team that was a far cry from the one we saw last weekend. Now, obviously it helps that this guy is very used to playing a very specific type of football. I'm sure once things have calmed down later in the week, we can actually have time to digest what kind of football we can expect. Now, Was it Juric ball that we saw tonight? Maybe Pellegrini tracking back and breaking up that counterattack in a way. Yeah, I mean, in that regard, it is. Basically, you have 11 guys who are a pain in the backside to the opponents for all 90 minutes. Now, physically, as to whether Roma can handle that or not is a different story. Again, we have time to actually discuss that once the storm has settled. But I looked at tonight happening one of two ways. I thought it was going to be a blowout one way or the other. I thought 3-0 or 4-0, either to Roma or to Udinese, because you could have convinced me of either team scoring 4 or 5 against the other, because you could have made the case for Udinese. They're flying. They're in perfect form. They can take advantage of a Roma team that if there's one of the few teams that you can reasonably rely on Roma doing well against, Udinese is a safe bet. If you look at historically how they've done at the Olimpico, it is some crazy stat as far as the number of consecutive losses, obscene. One of the few teams, again, that you can rely on Roma doing well against most of the time.
Most of the time, because I remember our man Gotti, if I'm not mistaken, he did rather well, you know.
The one against Udinese, wasn't that in Friuli where it was 4-1? Yeah. And it was, they had 4 chances. They scored all 4 on counterattacks that were akin to, you know, video PlayStation level sort of counterattacks. Yeah. I mean, they were perfect. But I thought tactically today, man, they got everything spot on. There wasn't one single performance that was that jumped off the screen to me, in my opinion. I thought everybody from front to back did relatively well. Dovbik certainly looks far, far more comfortable in this sort of formation where he truly is sort of the focal point, and there aren't other, you know, Sule playing out wide. And then Dybala occupying another flank where they can be the ones to sort of spearhead the attack as well. He looks far more comfortable in this. I mean, think about it. These last 2 weekends, he's had more chances to score than he did, you know, all of the other matches combined, it seems like. So there's really little as far as on the pitch stuff that anybody is going to take issue with tonight. I thought maybe the thing of Pisili starting from the beginning was interesting, because you could say, well, the fact Juric is starting him again, clearly there's something there.
A lot of people took issue with Manu Konis starting on the bench. So that was a shocker for a lot of people, because a lot of the media outlets were basically saying that Manu Konis has a guaranteed starting lineup, yes, you know, place in the starting lineup. And tonight, really, it was mostly last season's lineup with Dovbik and with Pisili in the middle. But Pisili was one of the, I think, if we talk about remarkable performances today, I would say Pisili definitely is on there.
Yes, I would absolutely agree with that. I was more so surprised that, you know, new manager, you can still view and are right to still view Pisili as a bit of a risk, not nearly as a guarantee as you would Kone or Paredes. So I was somewhat surprised that in his first match, in a very, very, very particular and tense environment, that Juric said, no, okay, kid, yeah, you will continue in the starting formation. Now, again, with Europe beginning, clearly he's going to have to find some sort of balance or some sort of rotation, but I still thought that was interesting. But the attack tonight looked great. It looked great. It is frustrating for me, because part of you wants to say, where the hell has this been for the previous few weeks? Another part of you wants to say, okay, well, clearly there was something going on as to what level of responsibility the players have versus De Rossi. I don't know. Probably we will never find out, but I do have a feeling that once we get to it later in this episode, I do have a suspicion that Lina is going to begin leaking. I don't know what would lead me to believe to think that, but I don't know. We will have to wait to see in the coming days what she has to say. But from team selection to tactics today, man, like it was flawless. So part of me, obviously, again, ecstatic for the first victory of the season, doing it to get all of these, I won't say imbeciles because maybe that is a bit too harsh, but man, I just view these guys as like my, you know, these ultras, like my 55-year-old, you know, uncle who spends too much time on Facebook. It's such an old way of thinking that I do cringe when I see things. Those who love Roma, you won't go in until the 30th minute. Like, okay. Yeah. I paid for a ticket to spend out here, half an hour out here with you, Valentino, to speak of why the Friedkins are exactly like James Palotta. Give me a break. Come on. I just can't get there with any of that stuff. You have me on board when you say we're going to protest because we don't like the manner in which the Friedkins approach.
Sure. We don't like the decision. We will show that we're unhappy. We'll send a message. Sure.
You have,
but don't force your hand on others. Don't, because and again, we'll get to Lina Suku because I have a lot to say in that matter, but you know, you that's not part of the sport. Forcing your hand on others, if you want to boycott, fine. But and that's why I said, John, when we spoke about Juric the last time, if there is a manager who will tune this out and who will not bother with this kind of noise, that's the guy. I don't care if he looks like he's 70 and he's had about 30 packs of smokes a day for the last 20.
Did you see that too with him and David Beckham? These two are the same age.
It blew up. It blew up.
Oh, well, so you want to?
I just
want to
say, you know, if
catching strength.
if there was someone who knew how hard it was going to get a result today, it was him. And if there was someone who was going to get a result today, it was him. And you saw it today. Just from the team selection, you knew that he wanted to rely on guys that have a place in this team. He wanted no nonsense. He wanted guys who can, even by the status that they have within the team, to give him the answers that he wants. He wanted cohesive performances. He wanted players that are on the same wavelength. He didn't want to try experiments. He didn't want to give Hermoso a go from the start. Hummels, as exciting as that would have been, he knew what he was up against. He was up against the whole stadium that was waiting to whistle and boo every single movement that every single player made, with the exception of Paulo Dybala, for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, if you just look at the stats for this one, it was decisive, the manner in which Roma won tonight. They didn't put a foot wrong in any department. I thought everything was, again, spot on. And you said it perfectly right there, Andy. If there was a misplayed pass, they needed just the slightest reason to whistle, to boo, to give him shit for something that he had next to nothing to do with, frankly. And if we want to get into that, too, you want to talk about a guy being up against it. How about Juric? You are basically replacing the guy who, regardless of how you view the situation, there is unilateral agreement that the guy got screwed, and you are the guy coming in to replace that. That sucks. That sucks, okay? That sucks. And you are in almost like a no-win position at the beginning, because even if you do win, all you are doing is quiet.
I swear to God, there was even media outlets and fans that were saying, "Well, Juric is complicit because he signed the contract."
Yes, yeah, man. Yes. Oh my! Again, that's what? Something.
My grand.
Who does that?
Conspiracy theorists in football as well. And in regards to Roma, there is always going to be conspiracy, but that's the credit. Like someone said, well, it's because Giuseppe Rizzo and even Filippo Biafora posts the lineup today. There is about 200 comments of people saying, clearly, look, Juric is playing Cristante and Pellegrini because they share the same agent. So clearly he's doing that as a favor to Rizzo. Hence, that is why Roma appointed him. And that's why he's selecting Cristante and Pellegrini to do his own agent a favor. Now, I've seen a lot of dumb people in my life. I've interacted with a lot of dumb people in my life, but the amount of stupidity that football fans display on social media makes me really question where are we headed as a global species, because this is really worrying. Ivan Juric is a professional. He's been waiting for a team to approach him ever since he left Torino. He thought that having done well in consecutive years with Torino would have granted him a chance with a bigger club. He was disappointed with the fact that he wasn't called up. He gets this chance. Do you really think he's going to hesitate because, you know, some guy from Testaccio will have an issue that Daniele De Rossi got sacked? I mean, come on, you know, this is a guy who Juric was waiting for. This, as he said it, this is my greatest opportunity in my career. This is a huge opportunity. This is the biggest club I've coached. I have to make the best of it. So I knew right from the get-go that if there was a man to meet this moment, to have these guys, I'm not going to say, you know, work miracles on them because we haven't seen anything. Today was just the match you needed at the right moment. And I think Juric is one of the very few who could have given you this result today based on everything that we've seen and heard over the last few days.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, too, there were many who thought I was being facetious in the previous episode when I talked about my excitement for Juric. I am 1,000,000% dead serious when I say I am thrilled to have him, because when it was announced, and this is part of the reason why I felt that even before he became official, you know, there were named the big names, Tuchel. Who else? Who are some of the other big names linked to the job? Like the flashy, the
Allegri, Terzic, Sarri. Sarri. There was also Sarri. There was mention of Sarri.
Right. These household names, these names that everybody is well aware of. They have high profiles. They would not have, and I say this with all due respect to all of them, they would not have 1/10 of the motivation that Juric is going to have coming into this thing. You have a guy, and I can say this, I can get a little more detailed with it now, but I can tell you, the guy turned down multiple approaches in the summer. And yes, this is coming from Beppe Riso, no need to hide anything. Turned down several approaches in the summer. He wanted to stay in Serie A. He was very surprised he didn't get an approach from even the likes of Lazio when it became clear that there was going to be a vacancy there. I frankly was surprised, and I'm sure you were too, that after what he did with Torino, and we have said it time and time again, the guy had zero transfer market. He worked with perhaps the singularly agreed upon worst president in all of Serie A.
Well, no. Now, if you ask Roma fans, they'll point to Dan Friedkin.
I was about to say prior to Wednesday. So this is a guy who, if you want to talk about making the most of your resources, and by resources, I mean extremely limited resources. I mean, that guy squeezed more out of that Torino side than anybody could have ever hoped. He had them competing for European places with guys who have no business starting, okay? Never mind perhaps even being on the bench for some teams in Serie A. The guy got so much value out of that team. And he absolutely deserved an opportunity at the big club. Obviously, the ideal circumstances would have been he comes in preseason and we go through all that. And, you know, he's able to get perhaps some of the players he views as being more suited for his football. There is no argument, in my opinion, that this guy is undeserving of a club like Roma, that he hasn't proven or paid his dues prior to this point. That is why I'm more happy to have a guy like him versus Allegri. Allegri, he comes in here, you know, we get the whole his manner of speaking. He does some stupid metaphor. I'm sure he would have come up with about half a dozen.
I mean, with Juric, you get someone who's humble in the sense that someone who knows that this is far from guaranteed and that this is far from whatever he had in the past. And that's why you get that urgency. You get that sense of a coach who wants to be there because he wants to prove himself. With anybody else, I think, with someone like Allegri, who, you know, I think also would be very stern in the sense of he would help collect the team. But at the same time, you'd get someone who has a huge, huge, massive ego, huge sense of entitlement, especially after how he feels Juve wronged him. You know, he wins that Coppa Italia. Juve, they sack him with only like three matches remaining in the season. And he feels wrong for what he did there. And I think Juric at this instant, a guy who always came off as a hard ass, as a really a painful, painful coach to face. Let's remember Totti's last game. Genoa had avoided relegation. Genoa were safe.
And no they reason played to play.
Like their life. They played like their life depended on it. I mean, it was insane, but they did it because he was there, because he had them up and running. It was crazy. But that's the kind of coach that he's always been. I'm not saying, again, that he's going to be here and doing miracles, but I want people to, if you gave De Rossi a chance, and I realized because I was the first one, and De Rossi was an unproven coach who had a very short experience in Serie B, club legend, yes, but an unproven coach. Well, here you get someone who's been a journeyman, sure, but he's done plenty of really hard work over the years to get himself to this point. So we might as well honor him at this very moment because this is his chance. And I think today Roma showed just that. They showed that kind of urgency that they were lacking. Obviously, we always get this when a new manager slots in. But I think there is more to that in the sense that this is what Juric wants from his team on a regular basis. Even Dovbik after the match, he said, we need to learn to press every single area of the pitch, you know, because that's what Juric wants. It doesn't matter if you're an attacker, you have to press. Doesn't matter if you're just, you know, if you're dead tired, press until you die, basically. And that's what made him such a painful opponent over the years. So I hope that he brings some of that urgency, aggressiveness to Roma because they need it. They need it badly at this moment in time.
They absolutely do. And I am going to go a bit above and beyond. And perhaps I may do it for a couple more weeks in my defense of Juric because I like the guy. I think he has, again, paid his dues. And on top of that, I have to hear things. I don't know if you caught this. It was on Rai on Friday. And I forget which enlightened individual said it, but they compared Juric coming in. They compared it to last season of Napoli, where it was Mazzarri coming in for Rudy Garcia. And I was not going to.
A lot of fans under our latest episode on YouTube also said that this is Napoli all over again with Mazzarri coming in. We're repeating what Napoli did last season.
I can't even remote, like most of the time I'm able to at least somewhat understand a contrasting point of view. I heard that. Then I thought to myself, I don't know how anybody could even see that, how anybody could even come to that conclusion. I could probably think about half a dozen guys off the top of my head within 5 seconds that I would compare Juric to before I would even utter the words Cazzarri. But I'm mind blown that would even come into the heads of some people because it is nothing even remotely close to that. I mean, Cazzarri was out of a job for what? Two years, 3 years, something like that. And the entire world knows that guy is done, finished as a manager. And we knew Garcia was the wrong choice for Napoli anyway. We predicted that was going to go down in flames. I could think of about a dozen other reasons as to why that is such a nonsensical point of view, in my opinion. You have a Juric who has not had a chance at this level before. None. So it may end up bad, sure, but in this moment right now, to say that you have the same level of body of work or proof or anything to make a judgment on Juric as you would Mazzarri is crazy talk, right? I can't even believe we're having this discussion.
I think, you know, for a lot of people, it just, again, it's sort of
what they play three at the pass or go compare to Mazzarri. Please.
It's because Roma tried to start something with De Rossi and they backtracked and they went in, and among all candidates, a lot of people, you know, exactly were attracted to the big names. They picked the least showy name. Like, right, the least glamorous name, because again, I mean, people made memes within 5 hours of his appointment. There was like 30 memes of Juric. Yeah, the guy, you know, looks, acts the way he does, but he always has been all about business, really. And listen, if he honors this contract that he has until the season, I will be very grateful to him. I will do nothing but thank him, because right now, even today, just this atmosphere, a lot of coaches would melt in that atmosphere. Yeah, because you're performing first home game, first debut for coaching debut, first home game in probably the biggest crisis in terms of the rupture between fans and ownership that's been since in over 4 years, since the Friedkins came over. This has been the biggest rupture that we've had since Palotta days. So anyone who comes in struggles. Hell, Claudio Ranieri struggled as soon as he came in. When he came in for those final 12 games of the season, he struggled. He struggled mightily. Look up the Lazio derby that he had. We got crushed, absolutely crushed. And Ranieri was helpless, even in front of fans who adored him. So tonight was far, far from guaranteed. I just want people to realize that there is a lot of work to do. There is a lot of also, sure, experimenting to do, because Juric's system will require a different tactical approach, a different mentality, different physical condition. I mean, yesterday Viviani, the ex-goalkeeper, said that Juric's training methods are sometimes even harsher than Antonio Conte's. So we have to start looking at these players in a different light, I think, once again, just like we did when Daniele De Rossi came in, we had to separate from the two Romas. And so we have to, at this point, we have to start looking at this team as a team that is managed by Ivan Juric, that will play differently. Perhaps it won't be beautiful always, all the time. It won't be these huge results like tonight. But it will be a team that will specialize in being aggressive, because that's clearly sort of the primary focus is be aggressive, scare the opponent. Do not let the opponent scare you.
Well, that's a great way to transition into the final talking point. Lina Suluku, I mean, where do we
can
go?
Can I go
with
off?
That?
Can I go off?
Listen, here's the thing. Because when I see situations like this, it's difficult for me to only blame one side. I think what she did stinks. I think how some of the supporters behave towards their aggression towards her stinks. Again, the message of the curva. When I see a very lazy comparison of Friedkin to James Palotta, hold on. Friedkin in 1 month was at more matches than Palotta was in a decade. Okay, stop this. The whole point. I thought the entire thing was that you're never present. You're never in the camp. You're never present in the city. You're never at Trigoria. You're never at the stadium. Okay, so they show up. They are there consistently. Okay, and now we're making this lazy comparison to Palotta. Why? And No. My favorite meme, no correlation, where it has the dots all over the place. No correlation. Beyond being American, those are the only two things that those two entities have in common. But as far as Lina Suluku goes, I just think the entire thing sucks. It sucks from every single point of view. I think doing it today, in the lead up to the match, I take issue with that from her point of view. I think if you were going to do this, you know, the backlash was immediate. It was not as if things were building up today and, you know, we wake up on Sunday and it's, oh my gosh, people are mad at me. They don't like what I did. Well, no, you knew on Wednesday, the second it was announced. I take issue with that, but I don't know where you're going with this when you say go off. So I'll let you end the episode on whatever path you take us down towards. And I don't
know, but I want to know, because I'm going to look at it as a human being. I'm going to look at it as a human being, because I think sometimes, or most of the time, we really get completely enveloped and think that certain things don't matter in real life. To me, the fact that Lina Sluko had to get police protection is not only a huge indictment on the this is one of the saddest thing you can possibly see when you talk about sports.
Yes,
it's insane to a degree that most people don't understand, because a lot of people still continue to make jokes, and Rossella Sensi, former Roma president, someone who understands fully well what it means to be under threat from your own fans, which is in and of itself sick. She herself said, I know what it feels like when people throw stones at your windows in your private home, because it happened to me when my newborn baby was inside. I had to go with police escort, which is insane. This is crazy stuff. But she I took issue with one thing that Sensi said. It's something that we always say in these instances, and it's a few bad apples. No, it's not. It's not a few bad apples, because you can just look at some of the comments that appear on Twitter under our own article of the news of Lina Sluko being assigned police protection. You know what one of the comments said? Good. I hope she got the memo.
And what? The other thing, when she says
the same news,
people will forget the second half of that statement, though. Yeah, it's only a few bad apples. But the second half of that part is sort of like contradicts saying it's only just a few.
Yeah,
bad apples.
But
they spoil the bunch. So
they spoiled the bunch, and it's again in I strongly believe it's not a few bad apples, because if you think that a comment on Twitter will not make a difference, very often it does. Believe me.
Yes.
Trust me, it will make a difference. If your reaction to a woman, a mother of a 3-year-old boy and an 8-year-old boy, and the news is that she had to get police protection in order to escort them to school, and your reaction is good. And I'm not even going to mention other explicit comments that were derogatory and misogynistic. But anyway, you get the picture. I think we can all agree the situation Roma are in is chaotic. The decision with De Rossi was chaotic. This whole summer in perspective is chaotic. The future is unknown, uncertain. Her decision to withdraw from her role as CEO today, okay, you can question the timing, whatever, but I'm speaking here from a human point of view. From a human point of view, Roma fans here come across awful. I don't want to see, this season, when there is a derby, I don't want to see any banners, you know, making fun of Lazio and their supporters, calling them Nazis. Because this is lynching. This is stuff that you expect in a mob, okay? This is the mob mentality that is truly scary, that we always laugh at when it happens in countries like Greece or Turkey, right? There is always, the fans, they go out on the pitch with a gun or something. Ah, ha, you know, look how crazy that is. This is the same. This is awful on so many levels. Do you know how many steps back you take in terms of reputation here as a fan base just because of that? Even, you know, people worried about new players finding it uncomfortable for De Rossi to be sent away. You know, oh, poor Mats Hummels, he will not get to be coached by De Rossi. Do you think that makes more of a difference to Mats Hummels than the sight of a whole stadium that is basically wishing, you know, death and ill will on members of the club? Because that, to me, that if I was a player, a manager getting sacked is quite a common occurrence. An executive resigning from her role because she's getting death threats and has to be assigned police protection, well, that's something you don't see every day. So I just want to end this in a way that I felt great shame. I saw a lot of comments from people all over the internet. People that think exactly a word on the internet doesn't matter. It does. And because very often it incites, it motivates. And what happened with Lina Suluku, her role in what she had to do at Roma, we can always debate that. We can always debate someone's work at the club. What you cannot debate ever is when it comes to the safety of someone, when it comes to life or death situation, for an executive of a football club to get police protection because of fans, that means it's not a few bad apples. Trust me. You don't get police protection because two isolated guys make comments on the street. You don't do that. That happens when the threat is real. And for that, I am ashamed to be a Roma fan, honestly. These last few days have been really, really quite difficult in that I can understand there is frustration. I can understand emotions are high, but this has nothing to do with that. This is just hatred. This is just pent up frustration of really lowly, dissatisfied, depressed individuals who have nothing better in their lives than to just, you know, throw rocks at other people and see if they bleed. Well, other people bleed, and words on the internet, anywhere else, they always matter. So congratulations. If the objective of a good chunk of Roma fans was to make themselves the laughing stock of football, there you go. So don't come around next derby professing that Lazio fans are Nazis, because you're not much better.
Listen, you will not hear a single argument from me about words not mattering on the internet. If you followed even one-tenth of the Violi stuff, the things he tweeted, published, said about my children, and I have 1/100th of the notoriety of somebody that, you know, of the things that Lina Suluku has to deal with, you won't hear an argument from me. I couldn't agree with you more. Just because it's only on social media, it doesn't matter. Like, it matters. It's not as if these words, you know, they disappear into the ether. Somebody sees that. Somebody has to read that. Somebody has to fear it, even if it's just one. Yeah, for me, even one threat is too much, because it's like, she's got, you know, you may not like what she did from a footballing point of view. And again, all of us are in agreement. Nobody likes the way the situation of De Rossi was handled. You harassing her, is that really going to change the situation? Is that going to make you feel better? And by the way, again, with children there, it's mind-blowing to me. It is mind-blowing to me. But it does matter. It does matter. Hopefully, we can put this behind.
This doesn't go away, in the sense that this, you know, you say a lot of people have said, "Well, this De Rossi sacking does not go away." No, no, my friend, your behavior also doesn't go away. I will remember the fact that an executive had to get police protection. So just like you will remember that De Rossi was sacked, I will also remember that what followed that, just like I remember Rosella Sensi getting a lot of slack and beyond slack in those years, I will remember how Lina Suluku was treated by a majority of fans. That's it.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And again, two things can be true at the same time. You can hate what she did from a executive and the footballing perspective. We can say that was wrong, while also saying, you know, wishing death upon her and going, you know, trying to create chaos outside her home and instilling fear in children is also a bad thing too. Two things can be true at once. And the other thing that I can't stand, by the way, I'll end it on this. well, she shouldn't have done that, or she should. No, that's insane. That's an insane way to think. Normal people don't think that way. Well, if she didn't sack De Rossi, she wouldn't have anything to worry about. No, that is not how anything in real life works. No. That's crazy talk. I would hope we have more well-adjusted people than that, because that can't be the way of thinking. That if the, you know, a footballing executive doesn't do something we like, we go harass them. No. We can all agree on that, I think. Oof. Well, that was fun. Okay. Until next time, everyone. Ciao.